Well, it's that time of week again when you get to hear from me regarding what's going on in the world that matters to ASA members. It's time for the podcast. Yay! So what would Friday be without one? So this time, I'm going to sort of dip into the research that we do regularly for Armada. Many of you are familiar with this. You've seen it over the years. We don't always highlight it, but kind of interesting stuff right now. We have, for the last 5 or 6 years, done a thing called the Watch. It's a assessment of what's going on in the U.S. economy, to a certain extent global, but mostly U.S. And over the last 5 or 6 years, we have been remarkably accurate, which is something that few economists can say, I am proud to say. We have about a 96-97% accuracy rate quarter after quarter, year after year, and it's down to the fact that the guy that is our model builder is a retired lieutenant colonel who used to be in the artillery, and he pointed out that in his previous incarnation, accuracy was really important. So he developed this rather sophisticated set of variables to track what happens with one of his shells. Now he has adapted that to track the U.S. economy. So we've got like 22 different variables that we figure trying to determine what track the economy is actually on. So with that as an explanation, two of the areas that we look at real closely are residential construction and non-residential construction. Those both obviously drive the economy pretty dramatically. And over the last several months, if not last couple of years, both of those have been growing at almost exponential rates. I mean, they kind of took off maybe 2 years ago, particularly non-residential, but even residential has been showing some pretty solid signs. There are several things that have been driving, particularly the non-residential. We originally saw a lot of activity around transportation. We saw companies reacting to the supply chain crisis by bringing in a lot more inventory, storing a lot more inventory, and that meant that they had to have warehouse space. So whether they built it themselves or got it from somebody else, that was booming. And anything that was connecting the supply chain to those storage facilities, I mean, they were on fire. The last couple of years, it's begun to shift. You're still seeing a lot of that development, but now you're seeing a lot more activity around data centers. You're seeing it around all sorts of technological advances, and that now has been driving the non-residential sector as hard as the transportation was before. So we're seeing glimmers of hope in some other areas of non-residentials, particularly office buildings. Those had been really dead after the supply chain crisis. I mean, that was the end of just in time, and it was being replaced by the eventually maybe system. Companies had no choice but to lay in lots of inventory just so they could handle whatever orders they were getting. Well, now the inventory to sales ratios are almost normal. So we're at a point now where most companies don't need to hold as much of that inventory as they used to. They're now not exactly back to just in time, but they're getting close. And that's allowing a little bit of a backing away from the warehouse and break bulk facility expansion. But at the same time, you're seeing much more attention being paid to issues like energy. You know, make sure that you're someplace where you can get the energy required, particularly in the era of data centers and high tech. So what we're beginning to see is a semi-return to normal. Office buildings not back to where they used to be, but you're certainly seeing companies a little less enamored with the work-from-home process. They know that efficiency tends to suffer, and they're now asking people to come in the office at least part of the week, if not the entire week, and that has been encouraging office development along the way. The residential side is always extremely volatile. I mean, it is booming in one part of the country and not in another. But overall, you've seen residential growing at a pretty solid pace. During the pandemic years, there was a real kind of retreat on building anything. It was hard to find people. It was hard to get projects underway. You know, just a whole series of issues that we're well aware of. those are beginning to fade, and so you're starting to see more development. Certain parts of the country developing a lot faster than others. The big trend that is affecting residential is that people and businesses are leaving states that are high cost, high tax, high cost of living, and moving to places that are less expensive. So you're seeing a dramatic decline in population in California, in Oregon, in Washington State, in the Northeast. Little bit less development even in some of the Great Lakes states. But meanwhile, the Southeast, the Southwest, the Midwest seeing boom times. And it's predominantly because the cost of living is lower, the taxes are lower, and companies are a lot more flexible than they used to be. Companies tend to follow transportation corridors. They go where energy is going to be reliable. They go where they can find people. So if you're in a part of the country that is worker short, it's going to be hard to attract business. If you're in a part of the country that has expensive energy or transportation is inadequate, those are areas that are going to interfere with development. Meanwhile, other parts of the country start to see some boom. For an ASA member, it's kind of tracking where the growth is and where it's likely to be. Right now, rule of thumb is follow three things as far as development is concerned. First is energy. Does the area have enough energy? Is there going to be enough to power development? And that's going to be from all sides. I mean, it's oil, gas, coal, nuclear, solar, wind, anything that can produce power. The second driver is going to be manpower. Are you going into an area where the population can't support much expansion? You don't have enough people with the right training? That kind of comes back to whether or not there's enough in the way of trade schools, community colleges, whatever. And then the third area is transportation. Is there a good corridor? Is there good rail? Are there good highways? When it comes down to it, it's infrastructure, infrastructure, infrastructure. I mean, we talk a lot about it. Awful lot of politicians wringing their hands, but it's like you want to look at these guys and say, man, this is not rocket science. Infrastructure is infrastructure. If you don't have energy, you can't function. If you don't have transportation, you can't function. If you don't have manpower, you can't function. And all three of those can be addressed. I mean, if you need more energy, build more power plants. If you need more transportation, build more highways, expand the rail sectors, expand the airports. If you are in need of people, that's a little bit harder to address, but, you know, come up with the trade schools and the training programs and all the things that you need to feed that sector. And, you know, frankly, there are still millions of people in this country that need training. The challenge is that these are often multi-level issues. I mean, you're going to have to get all levels of government involved. That means coordination. And if there's one thing government is bad at, it's coordination. So going forward, it's going to be a matter of sort of looking for where those little golden spots are and recognize that the business community will identify them and kind of migrate to them as they get a chance. By and large, I think we're going into a more successful period for business expansion if people can be nimble enough to take advantage of where the opportunities are. But they're going to be kind of hit and miss all over the country. Some areas are going to do a better job of it than others, and it's just kind of a matter of paying attention not only to what's happening at the national level, but particularly state and local, because they're the ones who are going to be working on things like transportation and energy and manpower. So with that, things to worry about, but also things to be encouraged by. So until next week, enjoy the frigid, bitter temperature. It's a little better in Kansas City than it has been, but that's not saying much in January. Talk to you later.